Christian faith is not a matter of personal interpretation. It does not rest on an individual's feelings or impulses or experiences. At its heart, Christian faith is a matter of believing God's own explanation of events as revealed to us in the Scripture.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And interesting to see, Colin, how many people will try and say, well, this is what Christianity is to me, and this is how I like to see God. But really, if we're going to have a relationship with God, it's got to be based on what God has said.
That's exactly right, Steve. And of course, people often say, well, now that's just your interpretation. I wish I had a dollar for every time I've heard that phrase. And every Christian has heard that phrase many, many times. That's just your interpretation. But actually, what the Scriptures give to us is God's interpretation. We don't just have events in the Bible. We have God explaining the meaning of the events. Now, I mean, take the Christmas story. If Mary had simply known herself to be with child, how could she possibly have understood what was happening? God explained what was happening. Here's how you're to understand what is happening. The Holy Spirit has come upon you, and the power of the Most High overshadowing you, so that the one to be born is the Holy One of God. I mean, Mary couldn't have worked that out for herself. It had to be revealed. God had to explain it. It's the same when Jesus rises from the dead. The women who go to the tomb have no idea as to why the tomb is empty. They don't say, oh, he must be risen. It takes the angel to come and say, he's not here. He is risen. And so our faith is not based simply on a personal interpretation. It's based on God giving us in his word the explanation of what he has done. There was not just a man on a cross. The man on the cross bore our sins. How do we know that? God tells us that that was what he was doing when he was there. Now that gets to the heart of what Christian faith really is. It's believing God's own explanation of events as they're given to us in the Scripture. So I hope that the program today will really help people to establish a firm foundation of faith. And it's found not in our own interpretations. It's found in the Word of God and what God tells us by way of explanation of what he's done.
Well, let's get into his word then. We are in Romans chapter 10 as we continue a message called Seen and Proclaimed. Here is Pastor Colin.
Angels were messengers, and they were sent to announce, first, the birth of Jesus, that he was manifested in the flesh. They were the heralds. Hark, the herald angels sing. Notice how the angels announced the coming of Jesus Christ in the world to Mary. The angel appeared and announced the coming of the Son of God. Mary said, how can this be, seeing that I am a virgin? And the angel said to her, the Holy Spirit shall come upon you. The power of the Most High shall overshadow you, and therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And then it was the angels who announced the birth of Jesus Christ to the shepherds. The angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be to all the people. For to you this day in the city of David, a Savior is born. He is Christ the Lord. Now, notice the ministry of angels here. This is very important. They explain the meaning of the birth of Jesus. A baby was born in a small town called Bethlehem many years ago. What is the significance of that for us today? Well, the angels tell us what it means and why it matters. The one who is born, they announce, is the Lord. And the reason that he has come is to be our Savior. If we ask Savior from what, again, the angels give us the answer. The angel appeared to Joseph and said, call him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Now, friends, here is why this matters, especially for us today. We live in a culture where people dismiss any claim to truth with a single phrase, and we've all heard it, that's just your interpretation. You speak about the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will find time and again that what you say is dismissed. Well, that's just your opinion. That's just your interpretation. And so we end up in a postmodern world with, you know, there's this marvelous story about a baby being born in a manger. What does it mean to you? Really, at the end of the day, it's all a matter of personal opinion. No. God sent the angel to tell us what the birth of Jesus means, what it means for you. Here's what it means for you. A Savior is born. And he came because you need saving. And the Savior who is born is Jesus Christ the Lord. How could the shepherds have possibly known that this baby lying in a manger was actually God manifested in the flesh? There's only one way that they could ever have known. God has to tell them. They'd never have worked it out. And so God tells us, sends the angel. And the angel tells them. Now, to underline that, I want you to notice that when you come to the resurrection of Jesus, the Easter story, you have exactly the same pattern. Angels were God's messengers not only to announce his birth, but also to announce his resurrection. Not only to announce that he was manifested in the flesh, but also to announce that he was vindicated by the Spirit. Now remember that story. On the Easter morning, the women came, they arrived at the tomb, and they found that it was empty. The stone was rolled away. But what did that mean? I mean, it wasn't that the women turned to each other and said, "Oh, look, the stone's rolled away. The tomb is empty. He's risen from the dead." That would have been a matter of personal interpretation. That is not what happened. If that had been what happened, then of course other people would have come and said, "Ah, look, the tomb is empty. That must mean that the disciples stole the body." That would have been a matter of interpretation too. And then for the next 2,000 years, we just say, "Well, there's one interpretation, there's another interpretation. What do you think?" That's exactly where the postmodern world is. That is not what happened. The resurrection was not a matter of private interpretation from the women or everyone else. What happened? We're told in Matthew chapter 28 and verses 5 and 6 that to the women who were perplexed, that's the word that's used in Luke's gospel in chapter 24. The women looked at the empty tomb, and rather than drawing a conclusion, they didn't have the faintest idea what it meant. They're perplexed. What's this? What's going on? So how did they know what had really happened? The answer is God sent an angel to tell them. Matthew 28, the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen as he said. Come and see the place where he lay." So please understand this is very important. The resurrection of Jesus was not an inference drawn by the women from the empty tomb. It was announced by the angel. And then it was confirmed to the apostles by the subsequent resurrection appearances of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what that means. Christian faith is not a matter of personal interpretation. It does not rest on an individual's feelings or impulses or experiences. At its heart, Christian faith is a matter of believing God's own explanation of events as revealed to us in the Scripture. A Savior has been born. He is Christ the Lord. He is manifested in the flesh. vindicated by the Spirit. He died for our sins and he rose from the dead. Now, this ministry of angels, this bringing of God's revelation to people, becomes the pattern for the ministry of the apostles and the pattern for our ministry today. That what they did, we are now in this world to do. We are to communicate this revelation that is being given once for all time for every person on the planet. That's why what follows from seen by angels is declared among the nations. What can we learn then from the ministry of angels? Well, surely the most obvious thing is this, that the ministry of angels focused entirely and exclusively on Jesus Christ.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called Seen and Proclaimed. It's part of our larger series simply called Jesus. And if you ever miss a broadcast in the series, you can come and listen online. Our website is openthebible.org. Well, while you're at the website, I want to encourage you to check out Open the Bible for Leaders. Because as you take on a leadership role in a Christian ministry, it's never easy. Whether you're leading a small group or teaching a Sunday school class or however you may be serving in any sort of leadership position, establishing deep roots in God's Word is essential to serve effectively and glorify the Lord. So we put together a free video-based training platform designed to equip all kinds of leaders with solid biblical foundational and practical advice and guidance for establishing fruitful gospel ministry for the long haul. If this sounds like something you'd be interested in, I want to encourage you to go check it out at our website. It's openthebible.org and click on Open the Bible for Leaders. All right, back to the message. Here is Pastor Colin.
The ministry of angels focused entirely and exclusively on Jesus Christ. And that must be true for us today as well. They declared his birth. They declared his resurrection. They declared in the Acts of the Apostles his glorious second coming. And because that was the model for the apostles, when they then went out to proclaim Christ among the nations, they did the same thing. Paul says to the Corinthians, I determined when I came to your town, when I came among you, to know nothing except Jesus Christ. We proclaim him, he says to the Colossians. Christ was seen by angels and proclaimed among the nations. And that is our calling, and that is our ministry today. We are trusted with what angels saw and what apostles proclaimed, the good news of Jesus Christ, who he is, what he has done, and what he offers to people from every nation, from every background in the world. Now, what does all of this have to do with godliness? Remember this verse, this whole chapter is about godliness. This is the chapter that lays out the qualifications for Christian leadership. It gives us a pattern, if you like, for what a godly life looks like. And it ends with the question, how then are we to live such a life? How are you to become a godly person? How are you to become God's man, God's woman, who manifests the character of a person who walks closely with God? And the answer to that question is that Jesus Christ himself is the mystery of godliness. The secret that God has revealed, though its full wonder is still to be made known, is that the life for which he made you and the life to which he calls you is made possible for you in and through Jesus Christ. In other words, becoming a godly person does not at its heart lie in you trying harder to live a more disciplined life. It does not lie at its heart in more focused and concentrated effort. Godliness, we're being told here, flows from a heart and life that is gripped by the grace and the glory that are in Jesus Christ. Paul, on one occasion, wrote to a young colleague, a man by the name of Titus, who he had mentored. Titus, a young man, and he's called to be a pastor. and he faces all the same temptations as anybody else. And so Paul writes to him about how he is to pursue the godly life to which he is called and for which he was made. He writes this in Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all people, training us to renounce godliness and worldly passions. So this is, how do you learn to say no to temptation and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age? How do you learn, how are you trained to say no to powerful temptations and to live the life for which you were made, the life to which you are called in this present age? And you might think that the way we learn to be godly is through the law of God. Isn't it the law of God that tells us what a godly life looks like? But you see, the law of God doesn't have the power to get you there. And so what he says here is very significant. He says, the grace of God has appeared. And it's the grace of God that teaches us, trains us, equips us to say no to the most powerful temptations we face and to press forward in a life of genuine godliness. Why the grace of God? Because grace produces, when you see the love of God in Jesus Christ and the richness of his gift in Jesus Christ and all that he holds out for you and all that is in him, that begets in the heart a love for Christ, a desire for Christ, a gratitude to Christ. And that, brothers and sisters, is the motive. It's the mainspring, it's the energy, it's the driving force of a godly life. The more you see the grace and glory of Jesus, your Savior, the greater will be your ability and your growth in regards to a godly life. Now, friends, we live in an increasingly harsh world where people make demands of each other only to be disappointed and frustrated when their demands are not met. Godliness can never be demanded. It does not come through law. Godliness grows in the soil of grace. And when we understand that, it will characterize our communication with the world as we declare the good news that was seen by angels, was trusted to the apostles, and is now given to us. It's the good news of God's grace. And therefore it is to be spoken to an often angry and demanding world in the tone of grace and in the spirit of grace, because godliness can never be demanded. It grows in the soil of grace. It is the grace of God that equips us, trains us to say no to ungodliness and to live with self-control in this present age. So here is the mystery of godliness. You can live the life for which God made you, the life to which God calls you, and you can do it in and through Jesus Christ. The more you see the grace of God in him, the more you will be motivated from the heart to pursue a godly life. It follows, therefore, that since godliness is the purpose for which every person on the planet is made, and it is the call of God to every life, every person who has ever lived, it follows that the mystery of godliness, Jesus Christ, is therefore to be proclaimed to all people. There is no person on any corner of this planet who was not made by God and is not called by God to be his man or his woman. Therefore, this gospel that was seen by angels and proclaimed by the apostles is not a matter of private opinion. It is, in fact, the very word of God, the revelation of God for all people. And therefore, we are to declare this good news, proclaim it to the nations. And when we do that, we are not pressing private opinion. We are telling another person very simply what God has revealed for all people. The life for which God made you, the life to which he calls you, is made possible for you in and through his gracious and glorious gift of Jesus Christ the Lord, who came into the world to be your Savior. Now let me end with this. Just once in a while, when my wife wants me to do something particularly to help her, she'll make her request using a rather unusual phrase that perhaps is used in your home as well. She'll say, "Be an angel," and then follows some request as to some kind and good thing that needs to be done. Now we know what that phrase means. Be an angel. Angels are messengers sent by God to speak of and to serve Jesus Christ. I want to say to you this Christmas, be an angel. Be an angel. Tell someone who needs to know about the love of God in Jesus Christ. Tell someone that God offers a gift of unspeakable value, that forgiveness and reconciliation is freely available through the Lord who came into the world to be the Savior. It's not just your opinion. It's what God has made known for every person. Good news of great joy for all people. Christ the Lord stands ready to receive all who will come to him in faith and in repentance, and to do so in marvelous and marvelous grace. Ask yourself this question: where are there people who do not know Jesus, and how can I reach them? Where are there people who do not know Jesus, and how can I reach them? And then remember this, as you recall that angels were sent by God. You have been sent by God into a particular family circle, into a neighborhood, into a school, into a workplace, into a circle of friends. Why did God send you there? He sent you there to be an angel, messenger, to proclaim what angels have seen. The good news of Jesus Christ, born and risen.
Well, if you know Jesus, that is your call. And if you've been giving and supporting this ministry, you're allowing us to do that as well. So thank you to those who have given a gift of support. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to say thank you by giving you a choice: the CD set called Christmas Stories or the book by that same name. Both of these include first-person retellings of the Christmas story from the point of view of Joseph or the angel Gabriel or even King Herod. And these CDs, they are Pastor Collins' original sermons that he preached. And then the book, I think, would make a great gift book, don't you think, Colin?
You know, it's beautifully produced, and it's just designed to be read with some friends, with family at Christmas time. So picture yourself in your home or wherever you're gathering with some friends, and someone says, "Let's read one of the Christmas stories." And here you've got the Christmas story through the eyes of the angel Gabriel, through the eyes of Mary, Joseph, Simeon, and even King Herod. And each of them could be read quite easily in maybe just 10 minutes, but the heart of the gospel is in all of them. And that's what we wanted to encourage, that families and friends would have a new Christmas tradition. Take a few minutes to read part of the Christmas story, and here's a beautiful gift book that would enable you to do this with your family or with your friends.
Well, we would love to send you a copy of this book, Christmas Stories, or the original series on CD. You get to choose which one you want as you give a financial gift and support the ministry this month. You can give online by coming to openthebible.org or call us at 877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365. Or again, our website is openthebible.org. Thanks for listening today. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible. If salvation and eternal life are yours by believing, then what does it mean to believe? Find out next time on Open the Bible.